Hello, Rick Barraza. Welcome to another tutorial on creative coding with Windows 8 JavaScript using the Processing.js libraries for Windows 8. On this lesson, we're going to be covering working with type, as well as finally getting into multiple pointers or multi-touch. If we have a lot of Windows 8 devices, you can handle a lot of different fingers as well as different types of inputs, mouse and input and pen. So Processing and Processing.js is still kind of written in that older model where they just assume everything's going to be a mouse. It does have some limited touch capability as well, but the MS pointer events introduced with Windows 8 have really expanded the concept. They've already been submitted to the W3C as a web standard as well, and so it brings a lot to the table when we start dealing with multi-touch as well as multiple inputs. So we're going to look at how that works in the processing in the Windows 8 environment, and then how we can use it in our processing sketches. So let's look and see what our setup is. It's our usual setup here. We're going to have width and height, our setup call. Currently, we're setting the stage, blacking it out. We have our draw update loop, and then our pointer move, which is what we've been using to date. Now, we haven't been testing any pointer IDs, and we've basically been doing everything with a simple laptop and mouse. We'll be testing everything on a multi-touch Windows 8 device for this lesson as well, though, so you can actually see it in practice. Before we get into touch, though, let's start talking a little bit about text. In our setup for Processing.js, it makes it really easy to load text. There is an object called a pfont for processing font. And if it's a system that you know you have, or if it's a font you have on your system, such as Arial on all these Windows devices, you could just go ahead, pfont load Arial. If you wanted to load a custom font, you'd have to go through and add it to your solution and then provide the proper paths. But we can just use Arial since it's on all the Windows 8 computers. So by simply defining this pfont here, you then need to tell Processing that's the font you want to switch to. So you would say Arial, and then you'd give it a font size. So in this case, we'll say 34. When we first run this, we're going to see a little bit of a lag because it's going to be loading up this font. But then once it's loaded it and it's set it to our font, whenever we want to draw text, for example, in our draw loop, we can say, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to create a string we'll be using throughout the example, and we'll just call it text output. Right. Now, if we're going to draw fonts, you're going to have to set its fill, so we'll just give it a white fill. And then to draw text on the screen, you simply say text, and then whatever string you want to put in. So if we just did hello world right now, and we set it at 50 pixels in, 50 pixels down. Let's go ahead and test this. Let me switch to my local machine. I go ahead and run it. It's loading the font. And then sure enough, we have Hello World. Now this isn't drawn once, it's being drawn repeatedly. It's in our draw loop. So let's just go ahead and prove that. Let's start using our text output is equal to hello world plus, let's add some random number. We throw our string variable to the screen. If we refresh this, there we can see that everything's working now. It's being drawn every time with just a random string of digits after it. So we have our ability to load fonts now. Stop this. Loading fonts just like this. If you're having a string output, then you can set it to whatever you want, and inside your draw command, we use the text call, passing it in a string, a literal or a variable, and then positioning it on the stage. In the same way as we did before with push and pop matrix, if you want a different size, you could scale it that way or simply be setting it up here in text font. So getting a font into our system is easy. This gives us a good way to start seeing data if we want to be tracing out values while we're testing things out. And that's what we're going to do today, because as we look at pointers, we're going to see that every pointer has unique properties. Every pointer is going to have its own ID and its X and Y position. So let's start looking at that. As of right now, we've simply done this pointer move. Now, if I didn't set text output here, let's just get rid of this from here. But let me start it out as something. In our pointer move, we've had certain things such as text output is equal to e dot offset x plus e offset y. Let's see if this works. Again, these are the values we've been used to working with, the offset x and offset y for a mouse. Go ahead and run it. And you're going to notice that regardless if my pointer is down or not, as I move my pointer, and I'm not pushing it down, I'm simply moving it, this event is always being fired. This is because we weren't ever working on anything necessarily clicking or dragging. Just as you were moving your mouse, we were kind of passively creating these drawing trails before. On this one, we're going to create an experience that is aware between when you're simply moving a mouse to when you're actually pushing down on the mouse and you want to draw something specifically and then let go and kind of stop drawing. So the mouse move is always fired. So in order to do that, let's start keeping track of these pointers. And we're going to do that by expanding out the pointer functions we're used to working with. First, we're going to add a pointer down function. This is going to capture our activity when a pointer actually goes down versus just when it's moved. I'm going to clear out our pointer move for right now. And then when it comes up, without a doubt, we have a pointer up. But to really be safe, you're going to want to add two other ones, which is a pointer cancel. This is sometimes where maybe the user isn't expecting to cancel the action, but the system needs to cancel the action, as well as a pointer out. Pointer out, on some scenarios you might want it, on other scenarios you wouldn't. Pointer out gets fired whenever the pointer actually moves off the sketch. Sometimes you might be drawing something or be dealing with some math, and if they go out of bounds, you want to just basically stop that gesture or stop that motion. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you want to keep it and allow it to keep following it when it comes back. For us, we're going to have a pointer out. Now, all three of these are going to do the same thing, which is why we're kind of nesting them here. They're going to remove the pointer that we're keeping track of. So right now, I'm going to create a remove function that's going to be passed in a pointer ID. Now, what's a pointer ID? It's actually been there since every one of the sketches. We just haven't used it before. So under our pointer up, pointer cancel, and pointer out, they're all going to call this remove pointer, and they're going to pass in this pointer ID. This variable, this E, this touch event that is coming from the system that Windows is sending to the browser and processing.js is using it, bubbling it up to your sketch. This comes with certain system properties, as we saw. We saw it had offset x and y. That's one we've been using. But every pointer ID is assigned, or every pointer is assigned a unique ID. When I'm using a mouse and the system doesn't support touch, I'll usually get an ID of 1. But as we're going to see pretty soon, when we start deploying this onto a tablet, every individual finger is going to be given its own unique ID. So when that finger, that particular finger goes up, or if for some reason it's canceled in a way we don't know about, or if that finger leaves the stage, we're going to remove that pointer from here. Now, remove pointer currently doesn't do much of anything right now. And the reason for this is because we're not tracking any pointers yet. So let's create a class for pointer. This is going to be one of our unique classes. Now, with most of the classes we're doing, they are all set up with the same type of properties. We've been setting them up with an x and a y, so we know where they are on the stage. We're not going to give them a velocity x or y because what we're going to be doing for this sketch is we're going to be drawing a lot of lines. To draw a line, you're going to want to have a certain a starting point and an ending point. So wherever our mouse goes, that's going to be wherever their current x and y is. But we want to keep track of where it was before, what their old position was. So we're going to keep track, in this case, of the old x and an old y. So whenever we update a pointer, we're going to take a snapshot of where it currently was, save that, and then update its new position. That way we can draw a line kind of backward from where it was to where it currently is now. And as we move, that line will be following around. A couple other things just to we'll be using throughout this lesson. Let's assign every pointer that we're going to visualize on the screen a color. We'll call it pColor. And we're going to give them a size. This is a size we'll be able to change. Maybe our fingers will be one size, the mouse will be a different size, pen will be a third size. Most importantly here, every pointer is going to have a unique ID. Which it will get from the system. And to finish it up, it's going to have a description that will be user-friendly. We'll be able to look at this and compare it. And there's one other thing. If we're going to be drawing lines, let's give every pointer the ability of having an array of lines. We've seen the syntax before in creating a simple array this way, right? We're kind of we're going to look at a different type of array right now. But for right now, we're going to give it an array of this custom class called PointLine, which we haven't defined yet. So let's go ahead and do that now. I'm going to create another class called PointLine. Now notice this is outside of my pointer class. Once I've defined that, I'm creating a second unique class. This is the first time we're dealing with multiple classes like this. This point line is only going to have four properties. Everything you need to know the position of a line you're going to want to draw. An x and y for the first point of the line, and then an x and y for the second point that defines a line. And to make it easy for us later on, we'll create an initialization function that we'll be able to pass in these four values in one line. If I'm going to put that, let's be consistent. And then here we would simply assign it. Whatever we passed in, assign it to our local copy of it. Okay, so again, let's look what we've done here. To create a new line, we'd say new line, and pass in all four positions, the XY position to start it and the XY position to close it. This point line object would then get those and store them into its own local copy. We're not creating any point lines yet. We're going to do that as we move along, but we're going to see that our pointer class that we defined has this ability of storing up to four point lines in its memory. Okay, so we take a look at that. Good. At this point, we've defined our class and our pointer line. Let's start doing some stuff now. If we're going to be keeping track of these custom pointers, let's come up to the very top, and normally we might keep track of it by doing something like this, using that type of array. But we're going to be doing a little bit more complicated array work this time. We're not sure if we'll have pointers or if we won't. We're going to be adding pointers and removing pointers, doing lookups on them. The types of stuff we're going to be doing is pointers now, because we're dealing with so many of them and they're so dynamic. We're going to elevate this up to a slightly more robust type of array, and it's going to be called an array list. We'll point out some of the differences between the simple arrays we've been working with and what this array list is going to bring to the table. So we'll say an array list is pointers. And we're going to say it's a new array list. Unlike what we were doing before, where we kind of knew how many elements were going to be added onto here, we're not sure. We don't have a variable called total pointers, because we don't know how many times they're going to be putting their fingers on the device firing off these pointer events. So we're just creating a new array list, and it's kind of empty for right now. Okay, so now let's start populating this array. Let's look at the event handlers we have, and let's think about what we want to do. When a pointer goes down, we're going to want here under the pointer down, when the system fires up and says, hey, a finger or a mouse has pushed down on the stage, we want to create a new pointer, attach it to that unique ID that the system is passing in off of E, and then throw it to our array list. Let's go ahead and do that. When the pointer comes down, we're going to say this pointer, P, is equal to a new pointer. We already know where it just went down on the stage with its offset X and offset Y, because this is a down, so we can set that X and Y. And since it's the very first time, let's go ahead and set its old X and old Y just to keep things neat. When you first push it down, its old position and its new position are the same thing. Now to assign its ID, let's start looking at some more unique properties of what E is. As we showed earlier, E has a pointer ID. So every time a finger goes down, we're going to create a pointer element, give it a unique ID. Let's start giving it some other visual properties as well. We're going to say its P color is equal to, and for right now, let's still just keep it at white. And we'll say its size is equal to 4. And for right now, let's say its description is equal to mouse. On this machine, it's always going to be a mouse, but once we start moving it remote, testing it onto our tablet, we'll see that this is able to change. And then finally, we're going to say pointers.add. Throw that P element in there. We've been typing a lot of code and we haven't tested anything out yet. So let's stop right here and throw in some code in our draw command just to see if what we're doing so far is working. Now, this isn't going to be very performant in the long run because we're not removing anything yet, right? We're putting all our stubs in place, but right now, every time that pointer goes down on the stage, it's going to create a new pointer and throw it into the array. But let's just see if we have it working so far. Now, in our array list, if we're dealing with an array list, our draw loop looks a little bit different. We're going to say for int I equals 0, while I is less than pointers, in this case, we now say size, if we're using an array list. Start looping through it. We're going to say pointer P is equal to, now, we'd say pointers.get at I. Again, we've been doing, when we're using the older array definition, we would have done something like this. But since we're using an array list, we're calling the get command, passing in a number. Now, in order for processing to know, because we didn't define, usually when we're defining an array, we're letting it know what we're going to be storing in this array. This array list, the machine doesn't know what exactly you've been throwing into it. We've been, on our pointer down, we know we've been passing in an object of type pointer, but the machine doesn't know. So in order for the machine to know, although here we're saying, hey, I'm referencing a pointer here, you want to tell it explicitly like this. You say, hey, cast this into a pointer so that you know, this is kind of like FYI, what you're getting back, treat it as a pointer. And I'm going to store it in my local pointer reference called P. So this is a way to kind of capture that reference on the fly to what you have stored in an array list that the machine doesn't know may or may not have been a pointer. So here you're making everybody be nice and on the same page. It's a pointer, you know, return it as a pointer, and I'm going to store it in a pointer. So this way everybody's on the same page. So once it comes back as a pointer, you can feel free to do things such as, let's use our, before we start the loop, we're going to have our string say draw. It's going to then do a return carriage. This is our draw loop. For every pointer, it's going to go ahead and add, it'll say pointer ID, plus p dot id, and then we will have it draw its x and y positions. P dot x, p dot y. This is just doing some little string magic. We're going to have a string, say pointer ID, have it pop out its number, just to do some easier to read human formatting, then show it where its x position is, its y position is, and then close it. Now, we're not updating this as it moves. So this x and y has only been set once. It's only been set when the pointer goes down on the stage or under pointer down. First, let's see if we get it going this far, and then we'll update the pointer move so that we can keep tracking it as well. If there aren't any pointers, if the pointer isn't recognizing, if there's nothing in the pointer's array, our text output is only going to be saying draw loop. Let's set our text color to what we want, and then we'll say text, as we were doing before, put our text output kind of in that upper left-hand side. Let's run this locally and see if it works with a single pointer, a mouse pointer. So we're seeing this draw loop. I'm moving my mouse and nothing's happening. As soon as I push down on it, let's see what happens. There we go. So I'm pushing down, and it sure enough, it created this pointer, threw it into our array. When I let go, that pointer is still in there. So we're going to have to add some remove functions to look up and see if a pointer matches this particular mouse and pull it out, right? If I push down again, I will have created a second pointer object right there. We'll see that the ID, since this system only has a mouse, the ID is keeps being given the same ID. Every time I push a pointer down, it's going to say pointer ID 1 with the position where I pushed it down. If we come back over here, I'm going to be adding another carriage return per pointer because I didn't like how they kept adding on top of each other. Now, first, let's see if we can update so that those numbers are changing as we move the mouse around. Let's come down to our pointer move right here. And let's start filling that in. Let's see if we can look up that pointer. So here's how we would look it up using an array list. For int I equals 0, while I is less than pointers.size, as we saw before, I++. So don't forget, this pointer is being called all the time. So as soon as we have multiple pointers, I might have my finger down while I'm moving the mouse, and this mouse might be firing up our pointer move event. So I need to make sure that I'm dealing with the correct pointer at the right time. So we need to grab this touch event, look up its pointer ID, and then see if any of the pointers we're currently keeping track of match that ID. If so, then we can do something. So we're saying for int I, we're going to loop through this. We're going to create a test pointer as a reference, just as we did in our draw commands. And we're going to do pointers get I. Again, the same syntax we use. We're going to loop through all the pointers in the array, whatever they might be, grab it, and first create a test reference to make it easier to talk to it. If this test pointer we're currently testing, if the ID in that pointer is equal to the ID that the system gave us, then we can go ahead and update the X and Y for that particular pointer. We know we have the right pointer. Let's run this and see if this works so far. Okay, so I have my draw loop. I'm moving my mouse around, so nothing's happening yet because I haven't created a pointer. I'm going to push down. I've created a pointer. I know it's there. My draw loop is firing. Now, as I move my pointer, we're doing an explicit lookup. The system is saying, hey, pointer ID 1 is moving. our lookup is saying, among all the pointers, do I have pointer ID 1? I do, so it's throwing the X and Y there. Again, if we're just doing the mouse, this might look like overkill. But now let's start deploying it on a system that has multi-touch, and we'll see how this also is solid and starts getting us ready for dealing with multi-touch. So I'm going to come back to my Visual Studio development environment. Right here, under local machine, I've set up my Samsung tablet. You can look it up online. Tim Heuer has a good blog post on setting up your Surface or Samsung Slate or whatever touch device you have. On Visual Studio, there is a remote debugger. You run on this guy. If you have Windows account, if you're signed in on the same account here and the same account on your machine, it makes it really, really easy. I've already synced these up before recording the video, so it makes it a little bit easier. I'm going to drop down over here and go, instead of local machine, which is what I've been running on, I'm going to come say remote machine. Let's hope this works. Here's my touch tablet that I have. Now if I go ahead and if I run this, takes a little while to sync up. It's loading the array. Let's kind of go to full screen. So we're having the same thing running here. We see our draw loop code right there. And as I touch, you see that it's moving. But you notice my pointer ID isn't 1 anymore. That's given some number, looks like 637. If I put 2 fingers down, you see that it now is showing pointer ID 637 and 638. Moving every finger independently is now being tracked. I can put 3 fingers down. Right now, it's moving all these multi-touch at the same time. If I take 1 finger off, it hasn't removed it. So we're going to have to fix that next. In fact, if I put the same finger back down, it's going to be assigned a new pointer ID. But as long as that finger is down, it's keeping track of this right finger, which is now 640. Right? Incidentally, if I get my mouse and I push my mouse down, my mouse also comes in with its own unique pointer ID right there of 1. So we're building a robust framework to handle different fingers all going down at the same time, all moving around, all doing their same thing. This is what the code looks like. The principles, though, apply. This is what it looks like in Processing.js. These principles apply in whatever UX language you're working with, right? So let's get back to the code and see it working a little bit more. Okay, let's stop this. Let's go ahead and take care of that pointer remove function, which we've already set the placeholders for here, right? We have the if the pointer goes up, if the pointer is canceled, or if the pointer moves out of the stage, we're calling this remove pointer, passing in an ID. And at this point, it should start looking a little familiar. Let me bring up my notes. There we go. It'd be a very similar loop. For in I equals, this time though, since we're going to be removing things out of an array list, we're not going to start at 0 and go up. We're going to start at the last person in the line and start moving our way down. That's what a walking the array backward loop would look like, right? So now we're saying start I, because remember when you're referencing it, it's at 0. It starts at 0. So if your pointer size, if we had 4 fingers on there, our pointer list is going to be pointer 0 through pointer 3, right? So if we have 4 fingers, we're saying that start at I equals 3, right? And then while I is greater than or equal to 0, keep walking back the array. The reason we do this is because if we have an array moving forward and we're starting at 0 moving up and we want to delete one, all these other things kind of shift back down and our pointers are going to be off. So the best way to do it is start at the end and start working backward. That way, if you do delete one, you're only adjusting things you've already tested. So since we're working with an array list and we want to remove something while everything else is going on, let's walk the array backward. Let's walk the array list backward. Then just as we did before, we're going to create a test pointer, casting it as a pointer here and say pointers get me wherever I'm currently looking at. And then we'll say if test.id is equal to the PID, which means if it's equal to this ID that we passed in here, which is what we're asking the system to remove, if that is equal, then we can tell pointers, remove this element. So we're removing it here. Let's go ahead and see if it works again on our tablet. Let's run this up. Taking a little bit longer. This is what it looks like over here, by the way, as it's running. So the system's getting fired up, throwing it across the system. There we go. Our sketchbook logo pops up. It's loading the array font. Now we still have our draw loop. As I put my finger down, we have a pointer ID. If I lift my finger up, okay. Well, that didn't seem to remove it. Let's go back and check the code. I think it deployed the old version. Let me refresh this one more time. It's going to redeploy. There you go. It was showing the old version. So if I push my pointer down, if I lift my finger up, it's gone now. Pointer, if I put my second finger, move it up, it's gone. Now you'll notice that as long as I keep them, it's keeping the same IDs. If I lift a finger up and I put it down, it gets the next number in the value. So all of our pointers are being tracked in different ways. Four fingers, five fingers, while at the same time it can keep track of, again, mouse as well, mouse and pointers. So not doing any draws, but we're really diving deep into multiple pointers, keeping track of them and managing them in your code. Let's start differentiating them visually, though, as we walk through the code to make sure everything else is done. So let's come back up to our system. Let's kind of stop this. Now, we have almost everything in place to start differentiating them visually, but we've been cheating a little bit. Every pointer we put down, I'm going to come back up to our pointer down. Every pointer we put down, we've been kind of just assuming it was a mouse, but we've already shown that the system is treating fingers in mice. Right now, it's treating them the same way. But we did, if you looked sharply, you saw that the ID it was giving to the mouse was usually a 1 on the system, whereas fingers were getting their own finger counter, like 637, 638, stuff like that. So the system seems to be differentiating between what type of pointer is coming down. Let's make sure it's really doing that by updating this. Once we do pointer ID, we can tell the system to switch, which is kind of a fancy if statement. This touch event comes with a very important property called pointer type. We can tell the system, what's the pointer type? Let's look up this pointer type. In case this pointer type is of type, and we can say, e.mspointerTypeMouse. If it's a mouse, right? We'll tell it to do something, then we'll break. If it's a touch, we can tell it to do something else. And finally, there is a third type supported. We can say if it is a MS pointer type pen, then we would do something else. So we've been treating them all the same up till now. This way they were all given the same size and color and description. I'm going to go ahead and make each one individual right here. So if it's a mouse, your mouse, pen, touch, but more importantly, let's start differentiating this. If you're a pen, we're going to want you to, your color, instead of being white, maybe their color will be red, some correction pen. And you'll be very fine. It'll only be a 1 pixel wide. Your description's a pen. Now, if you're a finger, let's start calculating your color the way we've been doing in our other sketches. So we're going to create a float. We're going to map it, whatever my current offset is between 0 and width. Return me back a value from 0 to 255. We've done this in several sketches now. We're going to be mapping where it went down on the stage along the y-axis from 0 to height. Returning us a color, accurate color from 0 to 255 to store in our G value, our green value. And then we'll say your P color. We'll just create a color made up of R, G, and then we're going to be 255 minus R. Instead of just keeping blue static, we can always do something like this, right? As red grows, it's going to decrease blue. Pens are also, fingers will also have a touch size of 2. They have this description. And if you'll notice, at this point, we're going to come out and we're going to take advantage of this other class we did of this point line. Let me explain what we're going to do. If we're using a mouse or if we're using a pen, we want it to be drawing this line. But if it's a touch point, let's visualize it very differently. What we're going to do is if I put a finger down, I want it to shoot out lines from the middle, from the top middle and bottom middle, kind of my left middle and right middle, shoot it to wherever my finger is. So as I move, I can see that it's literally creating this quadrant of lines as I move my finger around. That's what these four point lines are going to do. So if on our pointer down, it is a finger, then I'm going to pass it to this function we're going to create called addLine. I'm going to pass in my pointer that I'm creating to this function. Let's create this function, addLine. addLine is going to receive a pointer. Okay, so you guys with me so far? Now what addLine's going to do is it's going to start taking advantage of that lines array that every pointer has the potential of having. When it's a finger, we're actually going to fill up that lines array. So we're going to say lines 0. I want you to create a new point line. Its first point is going to be wherever the pointer is, and here is where we're going to be anchoring. So this line is going to be anchored at the middle left, right? So it's left, so it's going to be the farthest left. Halfway down the stage is going to be one anchor. One of the points will be anchored here. The other line will shoot to wherever your pointer is. So this will get us our left line shooting to our pointer. Let's do this three more times for our for the other sides of the screen. So wherever the pointer is, go to the other side. Go all the way to the width of the stage, go halfway down, and then shoot from the other direction. So here we are going to have two horizontal lines moving to wherever the pointer is. Now let's do the same thing for the top and bottom, which would be we're going to say half our width at the very top, then we're going to say half our width, but all the way at the bottom. So hopefully this makes sense. We're passing in a pointer. We've already defined that x and y, and we're basically creating a line from every edge, top, bottom, left, and right, shooting it to that pointer. Now, this is updating the line values when we've added it. But we're also going to need to update these line values as it moves around. So we know we're going to have a function. Let's just type it in now, called updateLines. Now, when we call this function, We'll see in a minute, but we know what the function will already do. We know that the system's already updating the pointer's x and y value, but we need to be updating the values of our line arrays to keep in sync with the with the x and y values of our pointer. So the update lines is a simple loop. Going to loop through all four of the elements in our pointer lines array, and we're going to say pointer.lines.i. Your x1 is equal to wherever you currently are, and pointer tell this element of your lines array that their y1 is now equal to wherever your updated y has been set to. Good. Now let's start drawing some of these lines. Come back up to our draw command. Here we haven't really been drawing much of anything. We've simply been grabbing those pointers and throwing them into our text string. So now let's actually add some draw code in here. The first thing we're going to want to do inside of this for loop, whoops, there we go. We were using this guy. This guy was valid. We're still grabbing a reference to wherever, to whatever our current pointer is, as we're looping through all possible pointers we have currently active on the stage. So we've already been doing that, grabbing that, and we've been calling it P. But this time, let's tell processing to set its stroke to whatever color we're going to be dealing with, and to set its stroke weight, since we are dealing with lines, to whatever size we've been dealing with. So instantly we know a pen would be setting the stroke weight of the sketch to 1. Our mouse, I believe we'd set it to 4, right over here when we put them down. So our mouse has a size of 4, pen has a size of 1, our fingers have a size of 2, so let's check that out. So we're setting set the color to whatever pointer color I'm dealing with, set its stroke weight, and then let's start treating every pointer a little bit differently, and let's switch based on their description. Now, if we recall, we'd set their descriptions down here to mouse or pen or touch. So let's check that out over here. If your description says that you're a mouse, right, we're going to have it do something. If it says that you're a pen, do something. And if it says that you're a touch point, then you're going to do something else. The reason we add break is because if we don't, it will actually just keep going through the next case. And we're going to show that because our pen and our mouse actually ends up working pretty much the same way. The pen and mice, the only difference is their size and their color. Since that's already taken care of here, I can just say case pen and not tell it anything to do, and then say case mouse. And whenever a pen does get called and it comes to here, since there isn't a break statement, it will actually run the code found right here. This is a way of kind of cascading your switch case, your case responses inside of your switch statement. So if it's a pen or mouse, either way, I want you to do something. I want you to create a line. Line is a processing call. So we're going to draw a line, and let's see if we can figure out where it's from. Sure enough, from your old x and your old y, draw it to your new x and your new y. As soon as we're going to use it, though, and here we're using it, let's make sure that our old x has this kind of has the updated values, because we're going to be assuming somewhere between these I'm going to keep moving my finger. So this old x, we could just say p.x. If you have a very fast system, you might not even be able to see the line because it's running so quickly. So let's use one of our old easing algorithm friends, and instead of making it so quick, we'll kind of ease the old point to wherever it currently is. Which, if you recall, the algorithm is where you want to be minus where you are times a percentage. Same thing with old y. I'm going to go down and make sure that my I've been keeping everything lowercase just so I don't look at any errors. Sure enough, old x, old y are lowercase, so I'm good there. So here again, it's inside our draw loop. If you're a pen or a mouse, after we've set the stroke and height color, Basically saying draw a line. Draw a line from where I was to where I am now and start easing the end of that line to where I currently am. So as I move, this will kind of be moving around. Let's test this out for any bugs so far before we do before we type in our touch code. We're going to test this out locally. So we know everything's going to be a mouse. We know it's only going to have one pointer. But let's see if we can at least get it to be drawing white. If I run, we have our draw loop looping. If I put my pen down, as I draw a line, we see that sure enough, we're getting this white line following my mouse. Now we're going to see if when we do it on our other device, if it actually gets, if it pulls up fingers. It's not necessary, but let me fix something up here. We've been blacking out our draw command to solid black, which works fine, but we'd also seen just to add a little bit more spice, let's do that opaque wash trick that we saw, where instead of blacking out the background, we're going to create a very see-through black opaque wash, and then simply draw a rectangle from 0, 0 to the width and height of the stage. This will let us see the white line a little bit better, because it'll create that blurry shadow as we're drawing around. So push down, there we go. Kind of that blurriness easing in. Good, so on mouse or on pen, this is working the way it should be working. We're drawing lines now instead of particles. But now let's update our tablet device. In fact, let's see what happens if we run it on the tablet device, because our fingers shouldn't work here, because our fingers aren't of type mouse. So if I switch this to remote machine and we deploy, it always takes a second. Okay, so this time we'll say no and rerun it. There we go. So now it pops up here. It's going to be deploying. It's loading the Arial font. So if I put my finger down, nothing's happening. But if I come down and if I move my mouse, we should be able to draw the white line. Yep. So it's able to detect the difference between a mouse moving around and a finger moving around. So let's finish up our draw code with the fingers, and then we'll be done with our sketch. Let's come back to our code. Stop this out. And roll down to pretty much our last stretch here. Inside of our draw command, we've been doing things with pen and mouse. We've been doing absolutely nothing for touch. So now let's start populating this guy in. If it's going to be touch, we're going to want a loop. Now we can't say int I because we're already looping int I up here. That'll be very bad if we're trying to use the same loop variable twice. So I'm just going to say int a is equal to 0, while a is less than 4, because we know that every finger has 4 of those point lines in it already. It started off as 4, it doesn't ever change. But it's only on the touch points that we care about them. So while a is equal to 0, while a is less than 4, a plus plus, and we will say point line PL is equal to whatever my pointer's lines a is. Let's look at that again, because we're using some short code. Just as we were grabbing references before under the array list, although we need to cast it then as a pointer, here, since it's the simple array and we already said it was a point line, we don't need to cast it again here because this lines array had been explicitly defined as an array of point lines. So we can say point line, I'm creating a reference to whatever element in the array is at this particular index, and it's going to loop 4 times. So it's going to be grabbing every point line, and now that we've grabbed an easy to use reference for it, it'll make it easier for us to then tell processing draw a line from this point line, that's PL. This point line's x1, this point line's y1, and draw that line to this point line's x2, this point line's y2. Now we've drawn all four of these lines. Here is when we can go ahead, just as we were updating old x and y here under our draw loop, we don't need to update the old x and y's because we already created that function if we're dealing with point lines, which was called update lines. But we did need to pass in the current pointer that we're using. And that does it on the touch code. So at this point, we are going to be able to be tracking the mouse, and if you had a pen device, the pen, which would be in a different color, but our fingers are going to be doing something completely different. So let's run it and check it out. Let's run it remotely. I'm going to fire this again, and let's hope it works. Firing it. Okay, run it again, and this time it usually works. There we go. It's loading up our sketch. It's loading up Arial. Now, as we saw before, if I move my mouse, it creates a white line. But if I put my finger down, oops, got an error on my machine, so let's fix this. First, show you guys what the error looks like. Right here, it was saying that property x1 was undefined or a null reference, so let's break this. Let's make sure our x1 and y1 was being set up properly. In our point line, we have x1, y1, x2, y2. Sure enough. When we're adding lines and when we're updating lines, let's make sure our x1 is being set properly. Oh, look at this. I was changing the values all on the same line. So when you're copying and pasting dealing with arrays, always make sure you change your index. That's a classic mistake. I just made it myself. Make sure everything else looks fine. Pointer x, pointer y's are all valid. Our update lines are going to loop through each one of our pointer lines, set their x1 and y1 to pointer x and pointer y, which is correct. And let's double check our draw command. If it's touch, we're going to pointer line x1, y1, x2, y2, update lines. That should do it. Let's give it a shot. Testing it, it's deploying. Let's test first and make sure we don't have another bug. There we go. Switch cameras. So as we saw, the mouse draws the white line, but if I put my finger down, it's creating these four lines on my fingers, and it'll do this for however many fingers I want, and every finger, if you notice, is being given a different color. And that color is staying consistent. This is how we're visually proving that every pointer, it's not just randomly creating a different pointer whenever you're moving your mouse. It's keeping track of this unique pointer. This one's been given a color because the color's been assigned as it goes down on the screen. So now it's bright red, right? But if you create another fingers, wherever you go, you're creating this kind of cat's cradle of strings for as many fingers as you want. And yet, if you needed to go ahead and switch back to a mouse and do some fine editing or some fine line work, you could go through there. So if we start thinking of the possibilities here from the types of sketches we've seen in processing JS to what you can do now, it really starts getting exciting. You can be creating these draw commands where you can have massive multi-fingers to be blurring the line. If you're using your finger, you blur. But if you're using a pen or a stylus, it's very fine detail. So those are some of the great experiences we can think of. We'd love to see more of them. So come up with these sketches. Please let us know if you do anything cool with this. But that's the type of experience I'd like as a creative. You know, so drawing with the pen, very nice. blurring things when it registers, hey, this is a finger, you know, this is a blunt instrument, it's not a fine instrument, let's go ahead and use this to blur commands. Here's all the code. I know we went a little bit deep into MS Pointer and the draw commands, but hope you're getting stuff out of this series. Stay around for the next lesson in the series. Thanks a lot.